Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence another episode of Office Wife.
Last night, Jeff Pilgrim and I came within an inch of tricking a confession out of Harry Palmer and feeling this dreadful embezzlement affair up in one stroke. But we had the most appalling luck. Palmer slipped through our fingers. And as for what we're going to do now, your guess is as good as mine. Jeff has a little over a fortnight to go before he stands trial. And unless we can turn up some new evidence to implicate Palmer, he hasn't a chance in the world. Now, this is a fine frame of mind to be trying to work in, I must say. I'll be getting the sack, and that'll make everything perfect. But I'd like to know what old Mr. Bendigo wanted to see Benny Puller about this morning. The way he stared at me when I passed him in the corridor. Phew.
It's about this Bronson girl, Puller. Did you know that she found £4,000 to bail Jeff Pilgrim out?
£4,000, eh? Not bad going for a young woman of 26.
She hasn't £4,000 of her own, man. I know. Where did she get it?
I don't know. Girl only works for me at Tressida. Maybe she plays the horses.
I'll tell you where she got some of it. It's the £1,800 we haven't accounted for out of the money Pilgrim stole. The hand and glove, mark my words, Puller. All the nerve.
You mean they robbed you and me, and now they're using the proceeds to bail Pilgrim out of quad? I think that's pretty good.
I'll be hanged if I think it's anything to laugh at. What are you going to do?
What can I do?
You can kick her out.
For what?
I'm telling you for what. For helping Jeff Pilgrim swindle the pair of us.
Just a minute, Tressida. You're taking a shot in the dark, eh? Would you like to talk to her? Ask her yourself where she laid her hands on £4,000? But don't blame me if she tells you to mind your own business.
By George, I would like a word with her. I'm not prying, Puller. I'm not being vindictive. But by jingo, I'm hot under the collar about those two.
Just a minute. Come up to my office, would you, Miss Bronson?
Yes, Mr. Puller.
Right away.
What beats me, Benny, is the way you hang on to that girl. Pilgrim's a crook. There can't be a solitary scrap of doubt about that. And here's this girl sticks to him through thick and thin.
You're not just a little ashamed of your own young woman, are you, Tressida?
What? Don't be ridiculous.
Come in, Miss Bronson.
Yes, Mr. Puller.
Sit down. Now then, Mr. Bendigo wants to ask you a question. But as far as I'm concerned, you needn't answer unless you want to. It's about Jeff Pilgrim.
Oh? What do you want to know, Mr. Bendigo? Why a comparative stranger like me sticks to him, while his wife and his in-laws turn him down flat?
I want to know where you found the money for Jeff Pilgrim's bond.
What?
How much of it was the money we still haven't recovered?
Oh, do I have to listen to this nonsense, Mr. Puller?
You're free to go just when you want to.
Thanks, I will. But I've a word or two for Mr. Bendigo first. About your gratuitous insult, Mr. Bendigo, I'll say nothing. But about Jeff Pilgrim, I'm going to say a lot. You're so beautifully certain that Jeff Pilgrim tried to rob you.
Did rob me?
All you have to go on is the fact that he authorized two checks to be drawn.
Two open checks, the larger of which found its way into his own bank account.
Where were the checks sent in the first place?
To post office box at Port Canceter.
Who took the box? Who collected the mail from it? Where was Jeff Pilgrim the day the box was taken? What became of the letter of authority Jeff Pilgrim received? Who made out the pay-in slip at Jeff's bank when the check was deposited? Have you asked yourself any of these questions, Mr. Bendigo?
I don't have to, young woman.
Well, if you won't trouble to find the answers, or that precious niece of yours who has the nerve to call herself Mrs. Jeffrey Pilgrim, then I will. And as for the money I raised for Jeff Pilgrim's bond, I earned it the hard way, and Mr. Puller knows how. Am I required any longer, Mr. Puller?
I think that'll be about all.
Thank you. Good day, Mr. Bendigo.
What's he talking about? Getting money the hard way and you knowing?
Well, don't ask me. She was getting kind of excited. But what about those questions she raised?
I'm not interested.
They should be gone into, Tresidder.
Waste of time. I've got enough to satisfy me. And so is the Crown Prosecutor.
Okay, it's your pigeon. Come along, I'll show you out. You know why I'm interested, don't you?
Frankly, Puller, no, I don't.
I'm interested because from where I'm sitting, I think Miss Bronson's got something. I don't think Jeff Pilgrim pulled that swindle at all.
Hello there. If it's not Millie Moffat.
Hello, Stella.
Do you come here to lunch very often?
Oh, every once in a while.
Well, this is luck. I'm going to join you. Unless you're expecting someone.
Oh, no, not me. Take a load off your feet.
How's Harry? Oh, but I suppose I shouldn't have asked. You're not seeing Harry these days, are you?
Well, I should think I was. Why shouldn't I be?
Oh, I heard... You know how these things get about. But someone told me that since Jeff and Marcia Pilgrim split up, Harry's been giving Marcia the rush.
He has not.
Oh, well, let's forget it then. I don't want to tell any tales.
But who told you?
Oh, really, I couldn't possibly remember. Don't let's talk about it. It's only that in fairness to you... Well, we all know Harry Palmer, don't we? After all, Marcia is the most attractive girl. And all that money as well. What are you having?
Are you trying to tell me that Harry's after Marcia?
Oh, Millie, dear, it's only what I heard. You can't blame him. Rich divorcees are terribly attractive to some men. Men like Harry Palmer. I know what I'd have done if I'd been in Harry's shoes. I'd have done my level best to get rid of Jeff Pilgrim just so I could move in and marry Marcia. Wouldn't you?
Get rid of Jeff Pilgrim?
What was that? Oh, but you shouldn't let me go on. So Harry was practically engaged to you. Of course he was. I keep forgetting. But from what I've seen of Harry, he always strikes me as the sort of person who'd, use people, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes. I know just what you mean.
Why, Millie, you're all right.
Use people. That's what he does.
Millie, you don't look at all well. You sure you're not feeling ill? Dear me, I seem to have said the wrong thing. But where are you off to?
I'm going, Stella Bronson. And if I find you've been telling me lies, well, just look out, that's all.
But what if I've been telling the truth, Millie? Run along and find Harry Palmer. And if I've been telling the truth, if he's only been making use of you to help him marry Marcia, why shouldn't we put our heads together? You are going to find Harry, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I suggest you try Gracie's. We're almost certain to find him there. Bye-bye.
It's amazing, Angela. Every time I beetle into this place, there I find the enchanting Mrs. Tennant.
You have to be someplace, Harry. Take a pew. You know, we haven't met since that day we shared a compartment in the train.
By Jove, neither we have.
You were going to Ravenshoe, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, Ravenshoe. Righto, Charlie.
What do you make of L'Affaire Geoffrey Pilgrim? Simply astounding, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Jeff's always been a pretty sly bird.
He must have been. It must have taken a simply tremendous amount of working out. Oh, we all know dear Geoffrey's frightfully clever and all that. But, darling, how do you account for it?
Oh, well, when chaps get tangled up with other women, you know, you generally find if a chap's prepared to do the wrong thing in one direction, he's quite happy to do it in another.
Yes, but if he'd wanted some money, why didn't he just go to Marcia and shove his hand out?
You tell me.
You know, the thing that fascinates me, and I read every word of the court proceedings in that awful weekly rag, was the business of Jeff traipsing all the way to Port Kensitor to get himself a post office box so he could post himself the booty.
Is there anything particularly fascinating about that?
Well, you know, Guy Stubbs, Jeff's KC or mouthpiece, whatever they call it, he reserved their defense. Well, wouldn't it be funny if Jeff could prove he hadn't been there the day the post office box was taken?
I'm being bored to the point of madness, Angela. But for your information, it wouldn't make a penneth of difference. Jeff's sewn up tight without any of that other stuff.
Really?
Yes, really. Angela, what are you getting at?
Do you keep a diary?
No. Do you?
Yes.
That's very, very ducky. So what?
I was just thinking what an amazing coincidence it was, that's all.
All right, tell me quickly and get it over.
It really was an amazing coincidence, but on the very day the post office box was taken, I met you on the train going to Ravenshoe.
Coincidence?
Well, your ticket didn't say Ravenshoe, it said Port Kensington. Tell me, Harry, how much of the money did you get?
Look here, Angela.
You look just like a suet pudding, Harry. I must have shaken you.
I went to Ravenshoe that day you saw me.
Harry, I was only joking. You don't have to fly into a panic, dear man. What's the matter with
you? Keep quiet, you hear me? My ticket was for Ravenshoe. I don't care what you say, it was for Ravenshoe. I went to Ravenshoe that day. Do you understand? Ravenshoe!
Be hanged. Palmer's got the best case of DTs I've ever seen. Or else he's a snake pit job. I've never heard anything like it. But I couldn't possibly have stumbled on something, could I? I don't know. It's the same. I think I'll find out. Wouldn't it be odd if...
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.